Jason Burmis on today's News Talk TNT.
And into the second hour we go. Let's talk the Supreme Court. And we ain't talking Taco Supreme. You just don't throw some tomatoes and sour cream on it and call it a day. We're talking the coup de grace here in the United States and really a court system that I think is overly rife with corruption and imperfect in any way, and also something that really does set up and play into this false left-right paradigm. What do I mean by that? Well, I would contest that Roe versus Wade was not overturned because the justices just had a change of heart and they got it right and they said, you know what? It is a states' rights issue. I think that they were allowed to, in that case, make it a states' rights issue. Why? To inflame one side of the political spectrum and put a narrative out there that when elections are lost on the conservative end, you know, all those red waves that never had it, well, the abortion issue really hurt them. And why do I say that? Because the Supreme Court has made some of the most terribly egregious decisions of all time just in the past several years. What do you mean, Jason? Well, let me tell you what I mean. First of all, for the Supreme Court to say the President of the United States and his constituents did not have standing, all right, did not have standing to have the massive amount of evidence out there on election and voter fraud examined, because that's all that they just wanted them to look at the case. And they said, no, no, no. Is that a constitutional republic? That is the complete inverse of what we saw in 2000, Gore versus Bush, where they had all the time in the world to try to audit that election and talk about hanging chads. And what was the solution? Machines with proprietary software that you can't ever question, ever. Even if, you know, there are courtrooms in which people hack them in minutes. Even if there are death cons where literal children who are prepubescent crack them within moments. No big deal. You better just trust it. That's a huge failure of the Supreme Court. Let's get into it a little bit further, okay? State Supreme Courts, they're not perfect. Sometimes they get it right. Where'd they get it right? Missouri versus Biden. Now, again, it takes a lot for me to say, hey, there's some positive news out there. Again, I'm still harping on knee on the line. You're probably hearing that for the next few months. I don't know if there's going to be better news. Missouri versus Biden seemed to be like good news. They were like, you know what? This whole Twitter government thing, even though it's a plausible deniability circle and its suggestions, no, at the heart of it, the government is telling corporations what they can and cannot have on their platform. And guess what? That information can be true. Remember all the new cool terms they gave you for misinformation? Then it was disinformation. Then they said, you know what? Let's take it even further. Most people don't know how to speak the language or read. We'll call it malinformation. Just so everybody knows, go look that term up. Malinformation means the information is 100% true, but what? It goes against a narrative or agenda that is being promoted by the established power. Now, Missouri versus Biden, they get it right. And what happens? Oh, the regular Supreme Court steps in. Now, this should have sent a message to all other states that these were corrupt organizations and we need to do something about it, regulate it, maybe even criminally charge some of these people. Well, our Supreme Court said, hold on there, Buster Brown. They took that ruling and they said, now normally they would let it stand, by the way, until they ruled on it in the federal Supreme Court. They put a hold on it. They didn't give us a date when they're going to look at it. And when they do look at it, I'm not so sure they're going to make the right decision. Call me kooky. I know I'm a kooky conspiracy theorist. How do you find fancy bank holiday weekend at a music festival for Truth and Freedom Vibe with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, on an all-night acoustic fire pit, bouncy castles, and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors? This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth of the world. Stand in the Park and the Light Paper present Stand in the Light, a Truth Music Festival in the beautiful Lake District on May 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days of camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus booking fee. Children under 5 come in free. There is no better bargain anywhere. Visit our website now to make sure you don't miss out on this brilliant weekend for the whole family. StandInTheLight.uk. We will see you there. And we'll see you on the other side with breaking news and Adam Ruckus Clark.
Your voice heard here.
The government needs to step up and do its job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Tesla, a leader in the electric vehicle sector, is reportedly preparing to fire more than 10% of its employees worldwide in an attempt to cut costs and to boost productivity. Here with the story, joining me once again is TNT News producer Adam Clark, bringing the ruckus. What's the word on the street via Tesla, my friend?
My question, Jason, what happened? I thought like electric cars, they were the hot thing, right? Everyone wants one. Everyone needs to have one in a hurry by a certain year. What is it, 2030 or something like that? Well, I guess it depends on where you live, which city, and what color they are, red or blue, et cetera, et cetera. They all are supposed to be green. Doesn't matter red or blue anymore. People get with the program. I'm so sad to hear this in a way. Except not really. Tesla, 10%. That's quite a haircut, all things considered. I think this equates to cheese and crackers. I had an exact number, 14,000 approximate employees all around the planet who are facing termination, will no longer be working for Tesla. So this is all thanks to, a number of things. Number one, they were citing the fact that their sales are down. Go figure. But they did also, in some of the reporting, indicate some of the other factors, which could be, aggressive pricing tactics from competitors coming from China, whole problem with supply chain interruptions following maritime attacks in the Red Sea over the whole Middle East thing. There was a temporary closure of Tesla's Gigafactory in Berlin due to an alleged arson. But I just think, Jason, that people are just not buying what they're selling. And what they're selling is a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And I think a lot of people are waking up to this fact. So, 10% off. This is all, we all know about this because of an internal, company-wide email was sent to employees by none other than the CEO of Tesla, one Mr. Elon Musk. I'm sure you've heard of him. Reuters cited the email that was sent to at least three U.S. employees, notifying them that their dismissal was effective immediately. This was all first reported by an EV blog called Electrek. That's Electrek. See what they did there. They were the first to report on the layoffs. It's not clear which teams at Tesla will be impacted. The company's headcount sitting at approximately 140,000 workers globally. That is where they're coming up with the approximate 14,000 employees. See, because of the math, 10%, aren't they smart? Anyways, reportedly, Musk said in the memo that was reportedly sent to all staff, quote, as we prepare the company for our next phase of growth, it is extremely important to look at every aspect of the company for cost reductions and increasing productivity. As part of this effort, we have done a thorough review of the organization and made the difficult decision to reduce our headcount by more than 10% globally. There is nothing I hate more, but it must be done, end quote. Commenting on the reports of the layoffs, Musk posted on X, which is another company he happens to own, quote, about every 5 years, we need to reorganize and streamline the company for the next phase of growth, end quote. The last time Mr. Musk announced major job cuts was in 2022 after telling executives he had a, quote unquote, super bad feeling about the U.S. economy. He indicated at the time that he believed that the company was overstaffed. The latest reports on these job cuts come as the U.S. carmaker has been grappling with, as I mentioned, falling sales and fierce competition from Chinese EV makers because, you know, they can do it quicker and cheaper. So I'm sure that's a big part of this whole thing, Jason. But what say you about the Tesla cuts?
Well, first of all, again, Tesla is not an EV company. It is a subsidiary, in my opinion, of the United States government. Again, EVs have been around a long, long time. We're actually moving on almost 3 decades of various types of electronic vehicles. In fact, I remember the good old documentary, it's got to be close to 20 years old, maybe even more, Who Killed the Electric Car? And it was voiced over by Ed Begley Jr. This company was chosen to be the face of the EV. It has been subsidized by the government since its inception. And again, this is the face of what Tesla actually is. When we look at Tesla, what else is it behind? Automation, humanoid robotics, and biotech. Again, I cannot emphasize enough that Elon Musk made more than any other one of his billionaire cronies, in large part to Tesla partnering with CureVac and building the micro nano factories that would print up the hate and lie shots. So what I really think is happening here is the bosses from up top, aka the military industrial complex, are saying, hey buddy, it's time to cut the fat. We really like you. We're going to use your SpaceX for our new spy satellite network, since you've already provided our old spy satellite network via Starlink, SpaceX launches, and the Blackjack program. And what we're now just seeing is the evolution of that. And I think we're going to be hearing about other products that Tesla are putting out that will have less emphasis on the car. But as they push the car, they're going to be pushing what? Autonomous driving and that type of technology, Adam. That's my thought process.
Oh, I'm so glad I brought this story to you, Jason, because most people, that they probably are hearing this information for the first time in their lives, because that's how much they want to push forward this concept that they are nothing but a harmless EV car company out there to save the planet, as everything that Elon Musk does, he's presented as some sort of superhero, when in fact, he's the world's richest man. Hello. So, you know, what are his intentions? Probably not the best in my book from where I'm sitting, Jason. But yeah, you said something about the robots. I actually saw a story about these new robots that he's working on, and they look like the stuff of nightmares. And I'm curious if any of the people who are losing their jobs will be replaced by said robots. Who knows?
You know, when you look at the Optimus bot, okay, it is designed to look like a human being as no other robot has. I know it looks like a reject from the Transformers, etc., but a lot of people don't understand that they are also using the autonomous driving software as a baseline to try to program the autonomy of these bots. And once again, I need to reiterate that, look, technology can empower humanity. I'm not against robotics or automation. But when they are building robots that are quote unquote human-like in appearance and nature, that has nothing to do with functionality. Don't get me wrong, we kick butt, we're pretty functional. You can improve on that 1,000 different ways when you're actually dealing with robotics. I'm sorry, a biped with two arms is not going to be nearly as functional as an actual human being. Hence, what they are trying to do is acclimate you to these robots, acclimate you to automation, and especially acclimate you to the AI personalities and quote unquote consciousness they will present to the rest of us, Adam.
Sounds fun, except it doesn't sound fun at all.
Sir, I want to thank you so much for coming in with the headlines. I'm going to be keeping an eye on Tesla, as I know you are. I'm sure we're going to be DMing back and forth about the Musker nuts and a million other things, because there are so many people that cannot critically think when it comes to Elon Musk. I'm saying, look, it's not black and white. There is somewhat of a mixed bag, but every single time that I hear that Twitter is a free speech platform, I chuckle and laugh to myself wholeheartedly, because it has proven itself, even under Elon Musk, to be anything but that. We have got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears into January 6th, and we've got a huge ruling coming up on that via the Supreme Court that I'm not a huge fan of. You're not going to want to miss it. We got Alicia Powell of the Gateway Pundit on after this. It's TNTRadio.live.
TNT's Kate Shimarani.
And I got this one thing, and I thought, oh, it's because I'm a woman. No. There was a bloke came behind me with one thing, and they went, please, go ahead of us. And I said, fellas, this is fabulous. I just don't see people do this anymore. And they weren't British. I said, where are you from? And one of them said, we're from Albania. He said, we're not criminals. We're just people, we work. But people say such bad things about us. Please, we're not bad. And I said, well, listen, I don't look at you and think you're a criminal because of your accent. I said, do I look like a criminal? They went, no. I went, well, I am convicted. And I said, by most of the criminals in their uniforms working for the government, the tyrannical government.
Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk, TNT.
The Light is Britain's far-right conspiracy theory paper spreading hate and vicious lies. No, that's what the BBC say. The Light is the only national newspaper bringing you the real news and informed opinion on what's really going on today. You can subscribe, order copies, submit articles, and read back issues on our website, thelightpaper.co.uk, and see for yourself why the establishment are so worried about the uncensored truth getting out to people every month. The Light Paper. Not far right, just right so far. thelightpaper.co.uk.
From weather and traffic reports
to news of political developments,
we turn to journalists for the information we need to live our daily lives.
Journalists around the world provide news that is essential for democracy,
for personal freedom, and for safety and stability.
Yet their ability to report freely and safely is under attack like never before.
Too many journalists are paying with their lives.
The sheer exponential risk, and they've already paid a heavy toll.
Death threats, online harassment, and physical attacks
are becoming a daily experience of journalists in all countries.
Absolutely.
We just want people to be safe, to be able to get our readers the information that they need to make informed decisions.
They checked my phone and realized that it was Pegasus. I feel myself like I'm naked at the street.
These charges were politicized from the start.
Facts win. Truth wins. Justice wins.
C'est énorme pour moi d'être là, d'être libre, surtout que je ne m'y attendais pas du tout.
Stand with a free press.
Stand with journalists whose reporting won't be silenced. Press freedom is your freedom.
I'm CAL FIRE Battalion Chief Isaac Sanchez, and normally we like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourselves and your family safe during wildfires. But given the historic impacts that the weather has had on our state this year, we would like to provide you with tips on how to keep yourself safe during extreme weather. If you reside in an area susceptible to flooding, please take the necessary steps to prepare to evacuate if advised. Make sure you've identified at least two exit routes out of your neighborhood, as one of them may be blocked or flooded. As the weather develops, remember to check in on vulnerable neighbors and family members. They may need additional time to prepare for evacuation. And just like during a wildfire, if you feel unsafe, please evacuate. You don't have to wait for the order to come. Keep an emergency go bag ready in case you need to evacuate. And always remember to plan for the safety of your pets as well. If you must leave, never drive around roadblocks. It can take as little as 12 inches of water to sweep your vehicle away. And always remember the mantra, turn around, don't drown. Be aware of first responders working in highly impacted areas, especially on the roads. For additional safety tips and updates on CAL FIRE activities, follow us on social media or visit fire.ca.gov.
Turn on Alexa and ask her to play
TNT.
Turning on anything else usually requires dinner and conversation, dressing up and brushing your teeth. And I'm already tired.
This is today's news talk, TNT.
And we are now joined by veteran DC journalist and on the ground investigative reporter Alicia Powell. You can check out her stuff over at the Gateway Pundit. There's probably nobody who has been more involved in the January 6th cases. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us. We've got this court decision coming up via the Supreme Court that is extremely important. Now, I'm not putting a lot of hope in this, but for those that don't understand why this is so important, please explain what happened to many of these defendants and why they got such egregious sentences.
Well, hi, thank you for having me back, Jason. Always a pleasure to talk with you. The way that the January 6th defendants are being prosecuted is unprecedented in American history. The government decided to ramp up charges to add 1512, an obstruction of an official proceeding. All of a sudden, we saw demonstrators over the past 5 years, 10 years, throughout history, parade and picket and trespass through the Capitol building. Never were they greeted by the FBI in pre-dawn raids until January 6th, and never have demonstrators in all of American history faced this 1512 obstruction and official proceeding charge, a crime punishable by a 20-year prison sentence that's being arbitrarily administered, arbitrarily prosecuted. So if you went into the building, you had to fear getting this 1512 charge stacked on your litany of criminal charges you face for demonstrating unarmed. And now, what is actually that law designed for? 2002, President Bush is a law enacted to prosecute an Enron case, to prosecute people who have been witness tampering, evidence tampering, document tampering. How is that demonstrating around the Capitol building or even going into the building? Perhaps a small, many few defendants, protesters that day, went into Nancy Pelosi's office and put their feet on the desk or grabbed a piece of paper and left a signature. But is that really add up to this 1512, 20-year punishable crime? No, it does not. And one of the judges said, no, this doesn't equate to demonstrating. And it's made its way to the Supreme Court. The court's heard oral arguments on this, I think, tomorrow. I wasn't sure if it was today or tomorrow. It's a day we're all awaiting, because when the Supreme Court dismisses this charge, lots of people are going to be going home who have no business already being incarcerated pre-trial for 3 years, many of these defendants.
So you're a little bit more optimistic than myself. I don't put a lot of weight into the Supreme Court making the correct decision. And you correctly identified the fact that, first of all, lawfare has been waged against these defendants. Never in American history have we treated first-time offenders in anything. Many, even if they were found guilty, would be guilty of nothing more than misdemeanors with the full extent of the law and beyond thrown against them, with really the punishment being the process, not only not giving many of these people speedy trials, but also putting them in egregious conditions, including solitary confinement. Many of these people, veterans of our military and law enforcement, correct, Alicia?
Well, yeah, there's 80% of these defendants are veterans, but also what I didn't realize, when you take a plea deal, you are helping to incarcerate and incriminate President Trump. And we've got approximately 70% of these defendants who have taken a plea deal. So if you see a J6er who went home after a week in prison or a month or a little bit of time, which quite frankly, that's all was ever warranted, a month or a week in prison, not years. They have basically signed a document that allows the government to use them to charge more people and all the way up to testifying against President Trump. That's what a plea agreement entails here. And so it's a very sad situation. It's been increasingly heartbreaking because we have a defendant sitting, Enrique Tarrio, 22 years, of course. We all know he was not there that day. How's it going to change? It's going to let these people spend 20 decades of their life in prison. And it doesn't stop. The federal government's going after more defendants. The U.S. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves ramped up, decided to prosecute more people and tell the American public to keep looking out for more defendants, keep going through the footage and identifying more defendants to commemorate January 6th of this year. So the Justice Department it's not stopping. They're continuing to put their foot on the American people's necks and honestly wage terror attacks against the American public. The U.S. government is one way after another way. I mean, that's what COVID was about in the stolen election in January 6th and all of these the manufacturing plants burning down, bridges falling down. What's going on here? We all see what's going on. I think the better question is, what are we going to do about it?
Alicia, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to get into perception versus reality and the narrative versus what is actually going on, especially with the term insurrection. We got to take a quick break for the headlines. We'll be back with Alicia Powell of the Gateway Pundit. It is TNT Radio Live, and we'll be back after this.
The news
right here.
TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled planned retaliatory strikes against Iran following a phone conversation with U.S. President Joe Biden. President Joe Biden has called on congressional leaders to expedite the passage of a $95 billion foreign aid package aimed at supporting Israel and Ukraine through the House of Representatives. The FBI has initiated a criminal investigation into the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which resulted in the deaths of six construction workers last month.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
We are back with Alicia Powell, and I want to talk about the term insurrection. Now, the mainstream media would have us believe January 6th was the worst thing ever, worse than 9/11, according to some, and that an insurrection occurred. And yet, nobody has been charged nor convicted of an insurrection. The trial that was no more than a show trial put on by the Democrats and the establishment literally had a Hollyweird producer at the helm of it with no end in sight. And again, no criminal charges being brought against anyone. And look, whether you like Enrique Tarrio's politics or not is a moot point. This is a man who was not even on the site of the non-insurrection, of whom they gave two plus decades to in a court of law for supposedly planning an insurrection that never happened. I mean, this is the insanity we're under. And I know that you've been following a lot of these cases closely. Unfortunately, many of these people have been unable to get even close to a fair trial because of where these trials are being held. And I know you've talked to some of them. I've talked to many of them as well. These people are holding out hope for a change of venue, but don't think that they will actually be given that opportunity until after this election cycle. So what are your thoughts on the appellate process and the change of venue in these cases?
Well, there does just seem to be increasingly some people who are appealing their case and being sent home. I haven't highlighted it yet on Gateway Pundit or written about it or looked into it too much, But I have seen the headlines of that, and that's promising. But you call this a court of law. It's not a court of law. It's a court of communism I never knew could exist in the United States. They're creative. This is a creative prosecution. For example, the seditious conspiracy cases. You can just, it's just plain English where the government is breaking the law, charging these people for crimes that equate to mass casualty events, where a significant amount of people were killed. And what the vast majority of the American public doesn't realize, I don't think, talk to your family and friends about the insurrection, they don't know that police were shooting people in the face that day. The police killed a woman that day. They killed another woman, beating her down with batons. I thought we were against police brutality in this country, not for you Trump supporters. Then you rednecks are going to get shot at, put in a gulag, you're going to get tear gassed. And they already told us the writing was on the wall before January 6th. This was about censoring us off the web, the constitutionalist or conservative or Trump supporting viewpoint off the web, off the internet. And now it's to put you in a gulag. And it doesn't stop here. What precedes these judges? The court of public opinion. If 80% of the public doesn't know what's going on and they believe the conditioning that the mainstream media is shoving down our throats ad infinitum, then how do we move the court of public opinion? There's just like, what, 15% of the American public realizes that January 6th was an insurrection against the American people, against the U.S. Constitution, and we currently have no First Amendment. Because if the government adds terror enhancements to your sentence, which adds years of time, prison time, then what I'm saying right now, if I were someone who protested on January 6th, I'd be guilty of speech crimes, thought crimes. All of your texts, all of your communications can be taken by the government, taken out of context, just like we saw them doing on the rehearsed Hollywood produced January 6th Select Committee hearings. And free speech is gone. Now, how do we resuscitate it? Public awareness? I don't know, but we'll see what the Supreme Court does in the weeks to come, Jason. And really, I think it's more contingent on the American people to stop being so ignorant and stop being followers. And if they weren't, if we weren't that way as a collective, there would be no COVID nightmare where 80% of this country is getting vaccine shots. We wouldn't stop going to work. We would strike and the government would take its foot off our neck. But instead, the human species seems to be weaker than we thought it was, including with all those who surrender in plea deals.
Well, I don't know if it's weaker than I thought it was. It is unfortunate that the masses often bend the knee in light of thinking that they're going to be kept safe or things will be easier if they simply acquiesce to what they're being asked of. And earlier, you talked about police officers and law enforcement shooting people in the face. I want to make people understand that they used a plethora of less lethal munitions that day. And these are, again, weapons that can cause death and extreme harm. Obviously, it wasn't less lethal munitions that hit Ashley Babbitt that day. A lot of people aren't talking about Roseanne Boylan. You've been one of the few. In these last couple of minutes, let's talk Trump. Because Trump has now gone out and said, essentially, he will be pardoning these individuals that have been overly prosecuted via January 6th. But first, he has to get into office. First of all, do you think that he is genuine when he says if he does get into office, he will rectify this situation? And secondly, do you think there's a possibility that he won't get into office and that instead he'll be spending time in a jail cell?
I absolutely think President Trump will fulfill his promise and pardon these political prisoners. However, what's going to happen next? Anyone can predict the worst, or we can see the silver lining in all of this. I really do think we're in a time where the human race, again, needs to realize our thoughts are power. What we do matters. Our feelings are energy even. And so, yeah, there's a reality playing itself out where it's the end of the United States and we're on the precipice of it all coming down. We're being part of a new world order. Plug ourselves into our brain chips, into a machine, that's playing itself out. And then there's a dimension of time that plays itself out where President Trump is back in that White House and we resurrect all that's been defecated on by the Biden administration. And there's no way to say what's going to happen. It's all historically unprecedented. I mean, when have we had a former president facing 92 felony counts for BS crimes like Carol Jean Carroll?
Yes. Again, okay, being convicted of sexual assault.
She says that she has a weird, bizarre definition of rape, yet she's able to win in these kangaroo courts millions of dollars. We see our judicial system is also hijacked along with our GOP members of Congress. The whole thing is quickly going down the toilet. And our faith matters, and what we do matters, and the amount of noise we make, and us banding together instead of being a nation divided. Divided is how we fall. And I've never seen so much division than I have amongst so-called patriots within the January 6th community. I mean, being on the ground on January 6th is just a lot.
Alicia, we've come to a close on the segment. How can people support your work? And I'm not sure if you want to tease really quickly the story that you got coming up. I know it's a big one.
Oh, it is a big one. I think if Ray Epps means anything to anyone that's been paying attention all these years, then we've got some things we're going to be uncovering more on how he's committed perjury and lied, and obviously a part of some kind of government operation to instigate people to violate this new charge the government's come up with for protesting 1512. He's instigated people to go into the building, but evidently he tells the FBI he's just there to calm everyone down, and we'll be sure.
And again, nobody had cover run for them by the mainstream media via January 6th like Ray Epps. It was absurd, it was repulsive, it was ridiculous. Miss Powell, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody needs to check out her work over at the Gateway Pundit. We got to take one final break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the border and beyond. You're not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned for more TNT Radio Live after this.
Hi. I'm your retirement fear. But don't be scared. You're still in pre-retirement.
Pre-retirement? Does that mean I have more time to plan?
Precisely. Here, this is pre-retirement.org.
Retirement savings options? Potential tax breaks?
Yep. Boo.
Oh, I could build up savings for my side hustle. This isn't scary. I'm doing it.
You got this.
Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan.
Many pollution sources can affect the air you breathe, from power plants and vehicles to dust and wildfires. Knowing more about local air quality can help you protect your health. If you're thinking about buying an air sensor, EPA has a series of videos to help you get the most out of it. Learn how EPA collects and uses regulatory data, how EPA communicates health messaging, and how to interpret the readings from your sensor. Visit epa.gov/air-sensor-toolbox.
Perception versus the truth. Jason Burmis on today's News Talk, TNT.
Final segment of the show. 2 hours flies by, folks. I do want to remind you to support TNT Radio if you can with that donation. So independent media can not only survive but thrive. And speaking of independent media, we are now joined by Audra Morgan, yet another one of these citizen journalists that have stepped up to the plate and done what the mainstream media refuses to do. She's out of San Diego, California, and working on issues such as the border. Audra, thank you so much for joining us. Give us a little background how you got into this arena and you decided to make the border one of those issues that you were going to investigate.
Well, thank you, Jason, for having me. I'm really excited to be here. It kind of fell into my lap. It was something that, you know, I was paying attention to, or I just knew it was happening quite a while before I really got involved. And what happened is was doing a point in time count for the homeless, which you go and you count the homeless in the county to see how much money, you know, the county can get to continue to pretend to fix the problem. And as a friend of mine and I were going past this church, going to see if they were possibly going to be helping the homeless, because right in that area, there were a lot of them. And we thought, well, maybe they're at this church and they're helping them. And so we wound up walking by. And if we didn't go just a few steps further than we went, we wouldn't have seen them. And all of a sudden we come past like this wall, and there's about 50 military aged men that are just in line. And you could smell them. I'm not trying to be, you know, anything, but it was like, oh my gosh. And I thought, well, this was interesting. I was thinking we were going to find a bunch of homeless, but we came upon a jackpot with this, and wound up staying for a little bit. Cause it's like, I thought, are they getting ready to go somewhere? We asked one of the gentlemen that was sitting there helping them. And it was at a church, the Church of the Nazarene. And right across the street is in a Central Elementary School, which is one of the SDUSD school districts here in San Diego. And they wound up going and walking them across the street, where there was a charter bus there that was ready to pick them up, and wound up taking them. At that point, I didn't really know where. I also didn't know that what the school was, but it was actually the migrant center that they had opened with about $6 million from the county to facilitate this, which it's now been shut down. But that opened the door to going, uh-oh, need to figure out what's going on with this. And since then, I found that it's definitely a border machine. It's something that is very, very well organized, put together, and funded.
So let's talk about this, because California has kind of notoriously been one of those states where illegal immigration in large part is commonplace, Texas being another one. If you go to the East Coast, obviously New York is a part of that, New Jersey, a lot of those states. Would you say there has been a noticeable difference in the past several years under the Biden administration? And when did you start taking notice?
I mean, outside of the border, just kind of on in general. I mean, since he's been in there, I mean, you know, you can just tell the way that everything goes, and how much all of the officials in San Diego basically back him up. And so you can see that all of the fruits of their labor are rotten. So everything that they throw money at, that they want to pretend to fix, it continues to get worse at a significant level. I mean, just with the homeless count that we were doing, not only are those illegals, could they be counted in that, but the number just keeps increasing, and it doesn't matter how much money is thrown at it. It continues to, but it's a business. And that's the problem, is that everything is a business. And when you can see they run it like that, and they don't really take responsibility, I feel like everyone's kind of like, well, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. It's their fault. Nobody wants to own the things that they're doing. And so, I mean, I've noticed, yeah, just really from the get-go, that it was something that, you know, and it's been a gradual, just like downhill turn that our nation has taken. And then when they lifted Title 42, I mean, I knew that was going to be a severe issue, but I think that I've just noticed it a lot more. I mean, in the past year, that it's just been getting really, really bad. I mean, it was already bad, but it's getting worse, and at a faster rate, I'm finding.
So earlier on the program, we had Max Bonilla coming from your state, and we were talking about Gavin Newsom. Obviously, Gavin Newsom is a friend to this agenda, to this administration. Prior to Biden getting in, there was the recall election. The first time I've ever seen an elderly black man, Larry Elder, be called a white supremacist on a large scale level. That actually happened, folks. When that was occurring, did you feel like there was enough momentum to get Newsom out of there via the recall? Do you think that was a free and fair election? And then after he was kind of reinstated, do you think that that gave him kind of this arrogance that we're starting to see on a mass level with everything he says and does in the press? The most stunning example would be when President Xi Jinping of China came to the area, and within 48 hours, he cleaned up that area, and not only cleaned it up, openly stated in a press conference, well, a lot of you are going to say, I cleaned this up for Xi Jinping and his visit. And you're right. I mean, he unapologetically stood up there, smiled about it, and just put it out there. And what, a week after he's gone, everything is exactly the same. So what are your thoughts on that Newsom arc?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just a reflection of all the things that are going on. The elections are not free. They're not fair. So, I mean, he was going to do everything in his power to make sure. I mean, we're up on another recall that they're trying to do. And so when we see that, you know, they're always going to steal the votes, they work both sides is a lot of it too. And, you know, I think that they sit there and it does make them more arrogant when they see that, you know, that the what they're doing works. It works very well when they're cheating, right? And so then when they can accomplish that, then all of a sudden it makes them think, well, see, then they can say, well, people love what I'm doing. They wanted me here, right? And they kind of float off of that as opposed to going, well, no, nobody wanted you here. You shouldn't be here. The election wasn't even fair, but you made sure that you're still there because they want him to be president. That's one thing that's scary is that they do. But all the things that he's doing, they're doing that in San Diego, like with moving the homeless. They have to do that to look good. So Todd Gloria is the mayor in San Diego City. And when even when Newsom will come or when anybody's coming to the city, they will move the homeless down the road, you know, a couple of blocks down the in downtown just to hide it. But it doesn't make it go away. And then if you're here all the time, you can see that it's just like it is spreading like wildfire. And again, no matter how much money they have to, I mean, if you look at what Newsom's done with the like $24 billion for homelessness, right? I mean, where'd that go? It goes into these pockets of these NGOs or different organizations that are sitting here saying that we're going to help these people and we're going to, no, it's not. It's going into your pockets. It's going into the CEOs. And so it's a business though. So if you look at it like that, when you can't stop it from happening, all the bad things that are going on, like the border or homelessness, anything like that, it has to continue so they can continue to get money. It doesn't mean it's ever going to get better as long as they're in charge. If we had all that money and you really did some great things with it to help homelessness, oh my gosh, it would be amazing. There's endless possibilities, but that's not their goal.
I think their goal is, again, not only to turn a profit, but have a populace that is somewhat subservient to these systems. In other words, yeah, on the dole in some way to further oppress those that would think about speaking out against these things. Oh, well, you know, you're on Medicare and you're also on subsistence with EBT cards and we're helping pay your rent. Do you really want to speak out against us? We're helping you. And a lot of people fall into that idea that they're part of the system and try to believe that, you know, these are benevolent organizations. And at the lower tiers, that's who they really prey upon to work in these organizations. Often you'll see people that are fresh out of college. They genuinely think that they're doing good, but they get part of that system, that bureaucracy, 5 years in, 10 years in, 15 years in, and all of a sudden their moral compass is not the same and it feeds that machine. And I think that's kind of a reflection of a guy like Newsom and his politics. That being said, Newsom's also been kind of a surrogate for the Democratic Party as the president of the United States when it comes to this election cycle. I mentioned it before, but he was the one commenting on the primary debates. They set up that DeSantis debate with him. If somehow, some way, and a lot of people have predicted this, they don't know how it would happen, but they slid Newsom into the presidency, seeing firsthand what he's done in California. What do you think the rest of the country could expect?
A California country. It will bleed out into that, every aspect of this nation. And I mean, I could see him doing it when they want to push what they're pushing, you know, with the border invasion and everything that's happening there. I mean, he'll just help facilitate it more. I mean, they want to destroy our nation and they're very good at doing what they do. And that's what's so sad is that they accomplish a lot and this has been generational, right? So they're all set to here to do these things. And so I don't look forward to that. I hope that doesn't happen because people are leaving California like droves. Where do people go when the entire nation is corrupted like that? I mean, it is already very corrupted, but when you have California everywhere, I mean, people leave here to go other places. Where are you going to go? I mean, we can't even leave our border, right? But you can come across our border. You can do that.
And what people don't understand unless they've been there, first of all, California geographically is a ginormous state, and there is just so much beauty, especially when you get up above San Francisco and you're in Sonoma County, and those people live a very different life than those that live in Irvine or San Diego or Hollywood or Sacramento, and they've had to succumb to some of these policies. In fact, the vast majority of them, especially since the authoritarian COVID-1984 nightmare. When we are talking about those authoritarian measures and the laws that are still in place, is there any hopes that some of those things will be repealed or rolled back, or are, like you said, just the vast majority of people that can leave?
Well, I mean, the hope, I mean, that's the thing. People ask me too, like, when are you going to leave? And I don't see, I'm like, I'm not. I mean, I have to hold the fort. I mean, I don't see, because you leave and go somewhere, it follows you. So I know that we can make change here in California and actually hold the line and keep it from bleeding out, but it's got to take the people to do that, right? We have to be willing to step into something and go, what do I want to preserve for the future generations? Do I want to allow them to completely destroy our nation from the inside out? I mean, because that's what they want, and they want us to be divided. That's why we need to be united just like they are. I mean, they may hate each other, but they're united in their front to destroy everything. And so we can be united in a front to preserve everything and make sure that, you know, the rest of the nation doesn't succumb to what we're dealing with here. I mean, people can't even afford to eat half the time, or, you know, they're deciding between if they're going to, you know, pay rent or get their medications, or so many things where they're up against a wall, you know, having to make some really dire decisions. And that's why it's so important that if we can stand together and stand against this and quit, like, we acquiesce to it. We've stepped out of our position to hold all of these people accountable. And because there may be one or two people that are doing it, it's like they look at you and they're just like, oh my gosh, look at them. They're, you know, what do they have? You know, nobody else really cares. But if all of us took a stand to turn away from the things that are going on and really look to rebuild a different way than they have presented to us, I know that it's possible, and I know that we can change. But if we continue to just acquiesce and, you know, capitulate with all the things that they want, we don't have a nation to look forward to. We actually we could very well lose our nation.
So I'm going to make a little bit of a presumption here. First of all, I've been politically homeless for 2+ decades. I hate both sides 100%. That being said, I'm a bit of a punk rocker myself. I haven't dyed my hair in years, but I'm sure people take a look at you. You kind of come from that spectrum. I would imagine there was a time maybe you were a little less politically involved and maybe even a little more on the liberal leaning side. What was it that pushed you not over the edge to take a political stance that was adversive to that, but also step up to the plate, look in the mirror, decide to be your own hero, and get on the ground and do actual firsthand journalism?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. I spent 8 years in a wheelchair, paralyzed. So, I mean, I spent a big chunk of my life being very sick and not being able to really do a whole lot. And then when I got another chance at life, God gave me a second chance, or maybe a third or fourth, I'm not sure at this point, probably a tenth. But this was one where I knew there was something coming up. I didn't really know what it was, but I felt like there was a battle ahead. At Then COVID hit, and I was always one to kind of stand against things and be like, question it. Like, I didn't believe we went to the moon. 9/11, I was like, this is not right. I mean, we did this to ourselves. And so I was always kind of one to do that. And people would be like, you shouldn't talk about that. Or like, I never necessarily voted or registered because I didn't believe, and I knew my vote didn't count, and I want it to count. So I'll do it if it counts. But what really just kind of fired me up was when COVID happened. I said, I know this isn't going to be the same after this. So I knew I had to get in there and start, you know, just becoming active. And so it started out little by little, by even just going to redress my government. I didn't even know. I was never political. That's the thing, though. If you would have shown me what I'm doing now, like 10 years ago, I'd have been like, yeah, right. Yeah, no, that's not me. I don't even care about any of that stuff. And now I'm almost obsessed with it, I would say, because it's so imperative to our lives that we, you know, step into being the hero. And I love that you said that, because that's what I always tell people, like, you're the hero that you're looking for. If you just step into that, the whole world around you can change. But it takes us taking responsibility. And so then once it, you know, I got a radio show and I started going like, I want to share more with the people because I feel like I know all this stuff that I know attending meetings and being present in my community and knowing exactly what's going on. I'm never curious because I attend and see all the things, nefarious things they're doing. And then I can see it happening around the world. And I thought, I really just want to like get this out further because I want other people to be equipped with that knowledge. You know, like if I have it, I don't want to hold it into myself. I want to just share it so that they can possibly change and see why we have to not keep capitulating, right? And just going like, okay, I'm going to just do this. So then it just turned into now I'm just, you know, covering the border and doing so many things. So it's been such a blessing.
Audra, you are a true information warrior, and I cannot reiterate enough that we need to share this information. That's why all my documentary films are free, including the ones on 9/11, Loose Change, Final Cut, Fabled Enemies, Invisible Empire, A New World Order Defined, and Shade the Motion Picture. Check them out. Audra, again, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys for watching me right here Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, because it's not about left or right. It is always about right and wrong. I absolutely love you guys. And we'll see you on the flip side.